In this episode, Ken Schumann and a group of faith walkers reflect on the topic of integrity, one of the four core values of faith walking principles. This conversation was originally recorded in September of 2021. We want to remind you, faith walking's mission is to make wholeness possible for individuals, communities, and the world. Visit us at www.faithwalking.us. Join this conversation.
So faith walking, in faith walking, we have four core values that guide us. And integrity is one of them. And as I started wrestling with integrity, I thought, well, why don't we over the next several weeks just focus on the four guiding principle values of faith walking? And so I thought we would start with integrity. I'm not going to go into all of the detail that we go into in our faith walking session. So you can thank the Lord for that. But there's a couple of new thoughts that I've had around integrity. So there are two definitions for integrity, and today we're only going to focus on one of them. And in faith walking, here's how we define integrity. I do what I say I will do when I say I will do it, and in the way it was intended to be done. And that's integrity. It's one definition of integrity. Okay, so I do what I say I'll do when I say I will do it, and in the way it was intended to be done. And of course, if you've been through faith walking, you know we also have a process. And if you're in faith walking, I would say to you, just be patient, you'll get there. But we have a process for cleaning up messes when we make a mess, when we're out of integrity. And I'm not going to talk about that today either. Okay, we'll talk about that at some other time. But I'm just reminded as I think about that, how often it seems in life, and I don't know the exact language to describe it, but we aren't as disciplined with integrity as we'd like to be, or maybe that we want to be or hope to be. And the negative form of saying that is we without thinking or without intending to, we slip out of integrity kind of regularly, because we're often, I think, we're not even aware of what we gave our word to. I mean, the most common one in Christian circles, and we've talked about it before, is the idea of someone says, oh, would you pray for me? Oh, yeah, I'll pray for you. And then we, you know, we say that without thinking about it, and we don't pray instantly. And so then we forget about it and we get out of integrity. We gave our word to pray. We become less dependable in life. The more people can't trust us because we don't keep our word well. In my recent study, I was led to Luke 16:10, which is right in the middle of some teaching by Jesus about a variety of things. But in Luke 16:10, Jesus says that if we are faithful in the little things, it proves that we'll be faithful in the big things. And I think often we kind of get that backwards and we think, oh, okay, I give my word to the really big things and I'm faithful in the really big things, but we aren't as careful with the little things. And yet it's being careful and being in integrity with the little things that enables us to be fully in integrity with those big things. We talk quite a bit in faith walking about the fully alive life. And what I believe is, as we align with the way of Jesus, and that Jesus provides the fully alive life, and that one of the pathways toward that fully alive life is being disciplined around the little thing, not just the big things. And that's what integrity is. So can I have integrity in those little nuanced moments? Can I give my word and can I keep my word? Can I give my word to others and keep my word with others? Can I give my word to God and keep my word to God? But also, I think it's really important because I think this is where the fully alive life comes, is can I give my word to myself and can I keep my word with myself? And when I put it in language like that, it helps me be more rigorous, more disciplined, more focused on the small things. One more thought. As I've been thinking about this, I think that we can connect integrity to self-differentiation. And a component of self-differentiation is boundaries. So I think we can connect integrity with boundaries. I get out of integrity because I don't have boundaries. Someone says, oh, would you do this for me? Oh, sure. Yeah, no big deal. Or would you do this for me? And I say yes when I really want to say no. But I say yes because out of my lack of self-differentiation, I want them to like me or I want to look good. And looking good or them liking me is more important than me being in integrity. And so I say yes. And then I get angry with myself that I said yes. And then I get angry with them that I said yes. And then I resist and drag my feet. And then I either don't do what I said I would do, or I do what I said I would do, but I do it mad. Any of y'all ever do that? You do it mad. I can't believe they made me do this, and we blame them for it. They made me do this. When the reality is, it's because I lack boundaries. So I want to remind you, no is the one word boundary. And we've got to grow in our capacity to both say no and also to be told no. And so it's almost as if those two things, integrity and whatever language you want to use to refer to it, differentiation of self, emotional maturity, boundaries being one of those, the boundary idea is, as I grow in my capacity to have boundaries, what I find is I can be more in integrity. And so it's an emotional maturity thing that as I do the work within me of growing in my own differentiation, which for me translates in this way. I don't need you to like me. I like you to like me, but I don't need you to like me. And I don't need you to agree with me. I like you to agree with me, but I don't have to have it. And so I can be differentiated and I can say no. So I guess in summation, Jesus said, when we're faithful with the little, we'll be faithful with the big. And though sometimes those little yeses or those little things we in implication give our word to don't seem like much, for Jesus, they meant a lot. And what I want to do in my own life, because I want to align with Jesus more fully, and I also want to experience the fully alive life, is I want to be more disciplined in the little things of integrity so that I can experience that kind of life. And one of the tools that's going to get me there is to face my own emotional discomfort of developing the capacity to disappoint people and say no when I know they really want me to say yes. So integrity is, I do what I say I'll do in the way it was intended to be done. And when it was, I do what I say I'll do when I say I'll do it. And in the manner it was intended to be done. So those are some of my current thoughts. What's that stir up for you?
Well, I guess I'll talk. a lot of this is integrity of how we react with others. But when you're talking about being true to yourself, you know, and being faithful in the small things, that is a big thing that I've had to try to overcome this past year. I don't have a problem telling other people no anymore. As a matter of fact, I've gotten really good at that. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it, you know, a lot of it, I guess, self-preservation. You know, I don't want to do anything out of obligation. I don't even like buying gifts out of obligation. I'm so anti that. And so it's, I think that unless you can have that with yourself, there's no way you can practice it outside of that. I constantly drive that home with my son and even with my husband. You know, it's those tiny little things. You know, I'm constantly saying, if you can't do this for yourself, if you can't love yourself enough to do that, you can't operate otherwise outside of that.
Yeah, I believe that's true.
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just like little things. This is where faith walking has helped me so much. Having to discipline myself to, even when it comes down to the choosing the food to eat. You know, when we went on our vacation, my husband, he's wanting to buy this and this and this. And I'm like, no, we're sticking to our diet. He goes, but this is vacation. I said, but this is our health. And we want to be in good health when we get back. And so, yeah, we had one night of hamburgers, you know, but it was just like, that was like the worst of it.
So a bit of, could I give you a bit of coaching?
Yes.
Is it okay for you to be disciplined and him to be undisciplined?
It is. I don't like it. I don't like it. I mean, I literally, oh my gosh. So when we got back, I got rid of all the cheese and bread, most of dairy in our house. I said, we're changing the game here.
We're changing the game.
Yes.
We're changed. Yeah. So I just want to help you see, Brenda, that's a bit controlling.
Yes.
So I want it for me and I want it for everybody. And I just want to invite you to think about, as a matter of integrity, okay, and can I grow to the place where I get less anxious when everybody's not doing it? Because it's what I want for me.
I have to admit, that's hard. It is.
I know it is.
I want him to stick around for a long time. I want him to and actually he's lost so much weight since we got back from the trip because of these little bitty changes, mm-hmm. but he's starting to notice it and he's starting to enjoy that part. Mm-hmm. So it's, but yeah, it was very forceful because I was like,
you know. And you said it earlier though, Brenda, if he doesn't want it for himself, then it's probably not going to happen long term.
Absolutely. You're right.
So how does he learn, okay, this is what I want for myself, and to tie it to our conversation of integrity, and how does he give his word to himself that this is how he wants to be? That's differentiation.
Yeah.
Good.
Tough.
Thank you, Brenda. It is tough. It is. Yeah. It's so tough. Nobody else even wants to talk about it today. They're not even going to say anything. To be quite honest, you know, I mean, let's just be honest. I hate integrity. I love integrity and I hate integrity because it's hard.
Well, I think we hate it too, because we don't want to recognize the negative impact in our lives when that integrity is broken or is breaking down relationally on a one-to-one level, but within groups, the integrity breakdown can ultimately kill a group. I mean, dissolve a group.
Right.
Right. And being aware of that integrity and trying to figure out how to walk it out for the sake of individual relationships and for the sake of a group dynamics is tricky. It is tricky stuff. And I'm thinking mm-hmm. through a number of both personal and group scenarios I've been a part of where those integrity gaps have caused me to lose both.
Yeah.
Good teaching. Thank you.
So is there any tool or any thought that you have, Tammy, that helps you with that?
The you're not going there today, but the cleaning up the mess conversation is a helpful tool in the toolbook to to at least attempt to address that.
Yeah.
It may or may not work.
Yeah. Yeah. When I find myself out of integrity, cleaning up the mess. Yeah. Good.
Thank you.
Module 5, folks. Sorry. You're going to have to wait till module 5 for that. No. I talk about this. No. We talked about it in module 1, didn't we? I'm pretty certain we did in the positive declaration conversation. We talked about how to clean up a mess with ourselves. So that's the conversation for all of you that have been through module 1. Judith, go for it.
I have a question. So I understand that there are times to say no when it's something we don't want to do and we don't feel we should be doing, ought to be doing. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But I also think there are times when we need to say yes as an act of service, even when we don't want to do something.
Mm-hmm.
How do we decide which is which?
Yeah. That's a great question. That has an involved answer. The simplest answer for me, though, at its root is, it always comes down to, am I doing this in a reactive way out of my anxiety? Okay, have I gotten worked up, stirred up, think I have to, out of my anxiety? Or is this a choice I'm making out of my best thinking that aligns with my guiding principles or my positive declarations or whatever, my values? So what I heard in what you said is, I have a value that I believe I need to say yes from time to time because I want to serve the world. I want to serve others. And so for me, so that's the first question I want to say. Am I saying yes because I want them to like me? Am I saying yes because I want them to think I'm this wonderful Christian person? You know, so I go through my motives. For me, it's around my motives. And by the way, I can say, okay, this is not anxiety, and I can still say no sometimes, right? Because maybe there are other things at play. The timing is not right, or the capability isn't there. The other answer that I would give, I think, Judith, for me is, okay, so it doesn't have anything to do with anxiety. There's no anxiety in the equation. And I have this value that I want to serve people. Okay, so I'm gonna be quiet. But I want to tell you a piece of the story. So y'all know I have a house guest. My wife and I had a really lengthy conversation yesterday at lunch just about that and why we decided to do it and some other things. We did that not out of anxiety or out of guilt or out of ought to. We did it out of, we think this is the way, you know, a Christ follower would do. We have the opportunity. We're in relationship. I mean, there were multiple factors that went into that. This week, his mother got evicted. And we had the conversation. Inviting her into our home is not an option because there's just completely different scenario, right? And so for me, and all of that's based on my values and my guiding principles, Judith, of who do I want to be? How do I want to show up? And I don't have a sense of obligation that I've got to, that God isn't calling me to rescue the world. For me, one of the clear things that's really, really powerful is discerning when is God inviting me to participate with God and when is God not inviting me to participate. I've entered into a relationship, I think I told you all about, with a man that's really struggling and he wants regular coaching, and I'm giving him weekly coaching. I feel no obligation to do that. I'm doing that out of my choice because I have values like yours. Yeah, there are times. Is it inconvenient? Would I rather not? Yeah, sometimes. So for me, does it align with everything I believe? I have said and will say repeatedly, I have come to the place to believe there is only one ought to in life, and just one. And the one ought to is we ought to live by our own guiding principles. So whatever I believe, whatever I say my guiding principles are, that's what I ought to live. That's my ought to. Now, for me, so part of my guiding principles are, I want to be an apprentice and follower of the way of Jesus. And so, okay, does that align with what I believe is the way of Jesus? And does it, but I also have a guiding principle. I don't engage in anything that I don't discern God's invitation for me in. So then that becomes a clear. Now, then you ask the question, how do you discern God's invitation? I don't know. And I don't know that my answer is the answer for everybody. But for me, in both the stories I told today with these two individuals in my life, I have felt God's invitation to join. And then there are other people. I've got a neighbor across the street who's just as deeply in need. And I have not felt God's invitation to join God over there, which is fascinating, but it's true. John.
I was just going to say this thing about obligation. You're trying to act in integrity yourself, but what I found over the years is not so much now, but certainly you're caught up in there's the weekly prayer meeting, there's the Bible study, there's the departmental meetings. And then there's the Saturday, and you're caught up in so many different things. And then, you know, perhaps you're at home and you haven't got time to maintain your house sort of thing. And then if you miss the meeting, we missed you at such and such a time. And if you've, particularly if you've got a leadership position, you're expected, inverted commas, to be there. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, you're wanting to act with integrity and not, how can I say, you're not wanting to snap at somebody because you're thinking, well, I've just done a full day's work and I've thrown down my tea and I've gone straight to the meeting. Mm-hmm. And it's this sort of thing, this obligation. You're trying to act with integrity in your walk. You're trying to remain calm in the house and all that sort of thing. And certainly what I've found sometimes is that the children or your, I think this may have happened to my boy, you know, they overhear things and then that can put them off church and things like that, and you're wanting to act in the right manner and integrity to people, and it can just be very, very tough with the intensity mm-hmm. of church life and that, and right. And then you say, you know, I do what I say I will do, but sometimes if you don't give a commitment to something, there's pushback.
Right. And there is.
And that's one of the things that I found quite difficult. You know, we need so many people to get this, to keep this project going or doing it. Mm-hmm. And you've done you've committed to a particular rota and you do that and then you get something else. We need so many people this week to do it and the regulars can't come. Do you think you could do it? And you're thinking, and then if it's like me, sometimes I go myself on a guilt trip because do I go there or do I do a bit of the garden on the Saturday or whatever it is you're on? And that's my issues.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right, John. And I would just encourage you, you're right. They are your issues. So what gets stirred up in all that? And for me, and I'm not just saying they're my issues too. Okay. I wrestle with those certain things. So then I think the more clear I get with what my guiding principles for my life are going to be, then the more I ask the question, does this align And by the way, my guiding principles are what I'm giving my word to. I'm giving my word. So one of the things for me is, okay, how am I going to live my life? How am I going to live with this, you know, with some kind of integration of work, rest, and play, of, you know, ministry time, me time, and family time? Well, I have a guiding principle that addresses that for me. And so then I come back and say, is this thing that I'm being invited or asked to do or guilted into doing, does it align and does it fit my overall how I want to live my life? And if it doesn't, then I'm going to say no, because I want to be in integrity with myself and my own guiding principles first and foremost. How do I come up with my guiding principles? I discern that in times of reflection also. Okay, because here's what I believe, John. This is what I deeply believe. I believe that the majority of Christians in the world today do not know how to Sabbath and don't Sabbath. That's what I believe. I am committed to Sabbathing. Well, that means I'm going to say no to some things even when people guilt me. I have an overarching guiding principle that says I live an integrated life where I integrate in healthy ways work, rest, and play. And so it comes back to my integrity with my word of my guiding principles that help me. And then it's living. So you're right. So then we feel guilty. And we say, oh my gosh, they had this big need and they begged me to do it. And I said, no, and I feel horrible. Well, guess what? Part of the process is coaching yourself out of the guilt. There's no reason to feel guilty. I didn't give my word to anything that I'm out of integrity with. In fact, I gave my word to you know what? I'm going to spend 3 or 4 hours in my garden on Saturday. That's what I gave my word to. And so I'm going to align with what I gave my word to, because what I deeply believe is, in order to live the fully alive life, I've got to take care of me. So do you see that? I mean, it comes all the way back around, but it's determining what am I going to give my word to myself about? And if I'm not clear about what I'm giving my word to myself about, then it's easy for me to be guilted into saying yes to things that aren't healthy for me. I hope that's helpful. So?
Yeah, very quick one.
Yeah.
And of course, when we give a word to something, perhaps we need to be clear as well and be aware of it's not ad infinitum. It may well be seasonal.
It may be seasonal.
Mm.
Exactly. There are time limits. I'm not saying yes from now till Jesus comes back. Right. Yes, I'm willing to do this for the next 2 weeks. Yes, I'm willing to do this for 4 hours today. That's it. That's all I can do. And so understanding and so all of that is about self-differentiation, folks. And it's self-differentiation is okay. I mean, go to the life of Jesus. Jesus didn't say yes to everything. Saul, give us some wisdom, sir.
I certainly sometimes say yes to something that I really should be saying no to, but my pattern tends to be the opposite.
Okay.
Being so protective of myself that I'm more inclined to say no. And so the Lord has been speaking to me a lot through faith walking process of being willing to step out in faith and say yes, because that's part of that's part of the growth for me.
Mm-hmm.
Of not being so self-protective and mm-hmm. you know, so, but what can happen in that, and I have a lot of testimonies and a number lately of the blessing of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Saying yes and then seeing the Lord provide in those circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And expand me in a positive way through them. But what sometimes can happen for me is I say yes, believing that is what I need to do. but I don't fully count the cost of that. And then sometimes I'm not walking in integrity in that, because I've said yes, but I'm not doing it well,
or right.
back to that in the way it was intended. And so I may have answered in the way that I needed to answer, but I'm not following through in the way that is a place of integrity. So, I mean, I'm kind of thinking through that as we talk here.
Yeah.
And that for me, I'm hearing that I need to make sure I give attention to that. And if I'm going to say yes, I need to count the cost of it. If I'm not prepared to follow through with it, then I need to not say yes.
Yeah.
That I need to be prepared to follow through and to keep that before me. What does that look like? Because my pattern is when the going gets tough, I may bail. And usually I don't bail from not doing it at all. I bail from giving it the energy that it needs to have.
Yeah, I get it. So I get it. And I hope in all of this, folks, I want to hold two thoughts in tension. One is this vision that let's be really disciplined with giving our word and keeping our word. So that's what the other side of the tension is, though. But let's don't become so legalistic that we beat ourselves up and shame ourselves and guilt ourselves when we are out of integrity. Let's just take our word a little more seriously so that we can be in integrity, I think, is, you know, because I also know, somebody could be the integrity judge over us, you know. Oh, well, you're out of integrity there. You said you'd breathe and I saw you hold your breath, and and I think that I just want to caution on the extremity of it also. Trish?
I will speak up, but when I get the pushback, I tend to waffle a bit, because I don't like to be perceived as something I'm not, you know. And it gets back to, I think I say I don't want to be a people pleaser, but in some of these situations, it's like, if I don't believe the way others believe, or, and even my husband and I've had conversations about these latest rulings in Texas that have become effective, and I see things differently. Mm-hmm. And I have a hard time with that, to know, when do I speak up? Because that's usually what I want to do. When do I keep my mouth closed?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be in a situation where I just let people continue to talk about it and polarize it and that sort of thing without saying something. That is my biggest thing, because I personally, I believe that silence is, you know, being complicit in whatever is mm-hmm. being said. But then there's also that risk of being ostracized, and I know I have been, and mm-hmm. Feeling it triggers my abandonment issues, I guess is what
sure.
I'm saying.
Sure.
It's really hard, because some of my, you know, my not affirmations, but the
guiding
principles. I need to remember that, not the vows, is that I show up as fully me. And I say what is so for me, and mm-hmm. I'm not responsible for other people's emotions. I know that.
Yeah.
But showing up as fully me and showing up as that means, yeah, a rejection often,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and distancing, and honestly, not having very many friends, because things have shifted so much for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even within my marriage, which is really good, but it's just really, some of these things can be really tense.
Sure.
I don't know. I just that's the hardest thing
right. for myself. Right. I get it, Trish. Mm-hmm. Because none of us like to be rejected, and especially if one of our deepest wounds is around abandonment.
Yes.
I mean, that's just challenging. Mm-hmm. So I don't have a fix for you. but here's what my word for you would be is just keep practicing and recognize it's practice.
Yeah.
Okay. And I might do really well today at practice, and tomorrow I might do really not so well at practice, but I'm going to show up with these people and I'm going to live into that guiding principle. I'm going to be fully authentic, even when I disagree. Mm-hmm. And there are going to be days when I don't have the courage inside to say anything. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to beat myself up. I'm going to be compassionate with myself and say, okay, you know what? We didn't have a very good day practicing, but I'm going to recommit, give my word to myself, and repledge and then redo, right?
And y'all can pray for me tonight, because my husband and I are having dinner with a close couple that we've known for like 30 years. Mm. And this has been a point of discomfort between us. Mm-hmm. And especially with the gal who's been one of my very best friends. And it's hard to know how to move forward in that relationship.
Right.
Very adamant in what they believe and how they believe it. And so, yeah, tonight, I'll just say a quick prayer that, you know, that I would know when to speak up and when to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah. And I think that's really good. So I read this in one of Brian McLaren's books. If you're familiar with Brian McLaren.
Yes.
And I share it often because it's been really helpful for me. And I'm sure you've heard me say it before, Trish. But he tells the story of being at dinner parties like that, where mm-hmm. everybody in the room sees it the same way, except for him. He's the one that sees it different. And his practice is simply to say, you know, I just need to say, I see that differently than y'all do. However, I don't want to get into a big conversation about it here at this dinner party. If any of y'all would like to know what I think, I'm happy to talk with you later, some other time. We can schedule an appointment, but I'm not willing to have that conversation now. That's so he creates a boundary. He says, I see it different. I'm willing to talk about it, but I'm not willing to talk about it now. That's boundary issues. And I'm practicing living that in my life, Trish. And yeah. Some days I do well and some days I don't do well with that. Yeah. Because I'm a conflict avoider. My big deal is conflict avoidance. So, okay. So I what I want to do is not say anything. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing all that. That's really helpful. Michelle.
My aha moment from today. I want to encourage people, and I want to encourage them to be who God's created them to be, and so to live their life. And so in doing that, I need to give them the opportunity to serve, to do whatever is on their heart to do. And mm-hmm. so we are going back to in-person services. I'm trying to pull teams together, and we have a cafe team for 3 weeks out of 4 weeks on the month now. The easiest thing for me to do is to step in and just do the other week myself and say, well, I'm capable, I can do it. But that means that I then go against my guiding principle of encouraging others, mm-hmm. Because I'm just taking their space. And so how hard it is, we won't have team that week. And so people will come mm-hmm. to church mm-hmm. and they won't be able to get a coffee, which will really upset lots of people. Mm-hmm. But there's something that says it's right to to not step in, you know, to mm-hmm. to step in and just mm-hmm. do it for the sake of doing it because I can mm-hmm. is wrong. And I need to stick with my, you know, no, this is what I believe, this is how it mm-hmm. is. And so I'm just going to say, no, we're not doing coffee that week. And that's the hardest thing, because I've always just been a person to, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I can sure. do that. I'll do that. That's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. I'm there anyway. Mm-hmm. And so it's going against everything in me that just wants to keep the peace mm-hmm. and make sure everybody's happy with their coffee on a Sunday morning, and actually sticking with what I believe is good and right for everyone else in this. Like, there's an opportunity mm-hmm. to serve. They won't know it's there if I step in and do it. And so mm-hmm. mm-hmm. the opportunity there. That's going to be really hard come the week that there's no team on and I'm kind of panicking and upsetting, fear of upsetting everyone. But
yeah,
I'm going to stick with
And Michelle, the hard work for you is going to be dealing with all of that emotional feeling inside of you mm-hmm. when it doesn't get done and everybody's dumbfounded and looking around. Oh, what's going on? What happened to Michelle? Why? Where's Michelle? You know? Yeah. I mean, that's the hard work, and I just want to acknowledge that is just really hard.
It's almost like it would be easier for me to go somewhere else on that Sunday morning. Let's not even go there.
Right. It would
kind of have to be there.
Or it would be really easy just to do it and make yeah. myself feel better. Uh-huh. Yeah. So reckon I want to connect it for you. So that's over functioning so that I don't have to deal with my own anxiety.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. I'm glad you had that aha today, Michelle.
Thank you.
We're out of time, gang. Thank you for the conversation. It's really good. Thank you for wrestling with it with me, like you have. All of you, for your authenticity is fantastic. Want to remind you of a couple things. One of which is that we have an on-demand online course on guiding principles. If you're interested in that, I think it's about $25, and it'll help you think about writing guiding principles. And also, by the way, we cover that in module 4. So if you're in the faith walking process, and then final announcement is that we will be launching new modules in 2 weeks. So if you're in a module, I encourage you to keep doing the next one. And if you're not in one and would like to be in one, now would be a good time. If you've been through everything, we invite you to come back and audit and just go through again to keep transformation alive for you.
For more information about Faith Walking, visit www.faithwalking.us. We want to remind you that Faith Walking exists because of your financial support. Please consider giving at faithwalking.us/donate. Thank you for listening.